Let's read it together, page 10, the last point. Let's read the heading on point 15. The power of the prayer of faith. Let's read the verses. Let's read the last part of James 5, 13 to 20. We can take turns, brothers, sisters. Brothers can start, and then sisters, and so on, and until verse 20. Verse 13, the brothers. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And the last two verses together. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Lord, we pray that we can come into the reality of this word. Lord, speak to us, speak to the church this morning. We take you as a burnt offering for this fellowship. Bless all the saints and our listening as well as our speaking. We want your word. We want to speak it through faith. We believe that's why we speak. And it's already the last meeting of the mornings of the conference. We are at the end of James. And the last part seems to be a good summary and to be a good continuation of what all the things that James said before. It ends up in prayer. And it would be better, instead of having a meeting about prayer, that we just would use it for prayer. That we don't have to say so much, but we can just do what James tells us. Amen. Is someone suffering among you? Let him complain and murmur. Let him pray. We only say this because it's written here. In the situation, we know ourselves how we are. Some others say if we fall under hard times, we always worry a lot before we pray. We're very good in this, to worry and to talk about it and complain and to find saints that you can talk about it. But we are all the same. But James just gives a simple answer, one word, pray. Do we want to practice this from now on? Amen. Me too. I want to practice this. To pray when something difficult happens. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms or psalms like that's so wonderful. When we sing, we don't just sing with the lips, but also with the heart. Let's sing psalms to the Lord. And the psalms are all songs. It is a good exercise. If we don't just read the psalms, but also move them in our heart and sing them to the Lord. Praise the Lord. But then, we also have to pray for one another. Is anyone among you sick or weak? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Very often, we have this case that someone is weak, and not just weak in general, but really sick. And James gave us a few principles how we should help this person. And here especially in very major cases where the sickness is very heavy and the illness is burdening the saints, and we have such cases, you know them. And this person who has the sickness and this weakness and has a desire in their heart to be freed from the sickness for the body of Christ's sake, for the service, then it's good that it asks the elders of the church, the representatives of the church. They ask not just the brothers to generally pray and from far away, quickly in the morning watch to remember, but that they should go. Yeah, they should be called and pray. Not just pray with this person, but anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. In the whole Bible, it's a picture for the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is to restore the fellowship with the body. And especially if someone has such a major sickness, and has been kind of been apart from the body, if the elders, the representative of the church, if they don't just pray for them, but also anoint them with oil. And that's what James says, and that's what the apostles did. The 12 who were sent by the Lord, they did not just pray for the sick, but they also anointed them with oil. That doesn't mean that all the time you have to go around and give oil and make a drama out of it. That's not what it means. But in very special cases where the brother or the sister has such suffering and the person calls the brothers, then we shouldn't hesitate to practice this word. And to, restore the fellowship with the body of Christ. But it is important in the name of the Lord. That's the important thing. Because the Lord is the anointed one. He is the anointed one. And we don't go and we think we have the power to heal. Moreover, is the Lord the one who is anointed. And we just apply what he did and who he is. Maybe we didn't do that in the past and didn't practice it. But if the Lord opens James to us and there's major cases, then we should really experience this word in the name of the Lord, not in our own name. We don't come because we have such a name that we're good healers. Yeah, Roland, send Roland, and in the name of Roland, I don't think it's going to work. Only one name is working, in the name of the Lord. So let us practice in our prayer to pray in the name of the Lord, in the Anointed One, that He is the one who has the anointing. And it brings us into the service. It is a restoration with the body of Christ and the whole priestly service. The oil, we know it from the old covenant, they anointed the priests so that they could serve in the tabernacle and in this Holy of Holies. But when we have such a major sickness and we are separated from the service, then it is good to not just pray for the sick, and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And not like for a major kind of experience, but to just restore fellowship with the priesthood, that nothing separates us from doing this priestly service. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. It's not just some type of prayer. If we pray, let us not just do words, but speak words, but it's a prayer of faith. I'm not sure if we always have faith when we pray. We say it with our lips because it sounds good, but in our heart we think, it's very difficult. I'm not sure this is working. That's not a prayer that God can fulfill. We need the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. We saw that in the past, where the prayer of faith and for brothers who were very sick and they were raised. Praise the Lord. But not so that he can go back to his career or take a better vacation, but that they can be a priest. Think of Hezekiah. The king Hezekiah, the king of Judah, was for some time very, very sick. And he was almost near to death. But he prayed to the Lord. And he called to him, and Isaiah visited him. He didn't anoint him with oil, but he gave him cakes made with figs. And Hezekiah and was restored, and the Lord really raised him up again. And he gave him a few extra years. How many? 15. Praise the Lord. It's good. If the Lord raises someone up and they get another 15 years. But you have to use these 15 years. Hezekiah didn't use them very well, unfortunately. In the end, he opened his whole treasure chamber and the place where his money was, and he gave a guided tour for Babylon, for the Babylonians. And he invited them to show them his whole riches. And the Babylonians were like, "Oh, were you? Oh, sure, I'm going to take part in the guided tour. Let us see what you have. I'm very interested to see how much money you have." But it wasn't a museum visit. A few years later, they took it. And God didn't like it at all. God restored this man in the hope and he would continue to go on, kind of continuing at the point where he was sick. But Hezekiah didn't use this opportunity. In the end, his later condition was worse than the time where he was sick. Sometimes we think it would be better if we would have gone home to God. Didn't you think so? In this case, it would have been better because afterwards he went into the pit. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And afterwards, there's another sentence we wouldn't have written. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Why does James add this? Because the Bible shows us that the connection between sin and death, in between there's sickness. Sickness is just because sin came into the world. In the Bible, we can see first there comes sin, and then comes sickness, and out of that comes death. And there are cases where the sickness... Oh, let me just switch off my cell phone. Let's not get distracted. There are really cases where the sickness is connected with the sin. If otherwise, James wouldn't connect this. Sometimes sickness has to do with sin. We often don't know the root of sickness. We just see on the outside someone's sick, and so we do so many things, and we're so fast to pray for healing. That's pretty good, but we have to see. Sometimes God uses sickness to deal with things, to heal things that not so much have to do with the body, but that have to do with inner troubles. That's why James says, if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. So the source of sickness is sin, and then death. Not every sickness has to do with sin. That's not always the case. You often see, and for example, John chapter 9, he was like, who has sinned that this one's blind? No one, neither him nor his parents, but the works of God should be apparent in him. That's also the case. There are both sides to this. That's why it's good if we read James, that we also kind of keep these cases in our heart when we are confronted with this type of case. But one thing is for sure, that's also my experience, especially sickness and heavy sickness, is a warning that we should not sin. We should take it as a warning. And we shouldn't just pray that for healing, and we're just distraught, and we have compassion with the saints. But on the other hand, we should know ourselves that God uses sickness. He can use it, or it could be a result of sin. That is possible, but it exists. It doesn't have to be, but God is compassionate, and he is merciful. If this one is saved, and also his sins will be forgiven, praise the Lord. God is merciful and forgiving, but when we are healthy again, let us not use our health to use it for bad things and kind of go away from God's purpose. Otherwise, we've become like Hezekiah. And confess your trespasses to one another. We know this, and that if you confess your trespasses, it will save us from our sin, and it will we will be forgiven. It's very healthy to confess our trespasses. It's not good to keep them for ourselves, but we should come to God and confess it and say, I sinned in this thing and I repent. And if it's in between people, there are sins and problems, then we also have to confess to one another. But don't do it to embarrass someone or to kind of harm someone, that you may be healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. The goal is healing, not just healing in the body. Our soul needs so much healing. We have so many sicknesses in our soul, in our self, that the Lord wants to heal. Amen. Pray for one another. That's so good that we have this practice, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. It's so good that James makes this addition. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous, that comes from Proverbs 15, verse 29. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Lord pays attention if we put on His righteousness and experience it. It's not that God just listens to prayer in general, but we need the righteousness. In Philippians 3, Paul says, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness out of the law, but in the righteousness of Christ. If I judge the saints with my own opinion and according to my own standards, and I'm so quick and have my own righteousness and apply it to all of you, do you think that my prayers will be very effective? In the morning, I judge Raina according to my own righteousness, and in the evening, I pray for healing. Do you think that's going to work very much? It doesn't. It can't be effective. We don't want to pray for evil things. We want to put on the Lord, and we don't want to have our own judgments. And my own righteousness and my own opinion is so important, and I apply it. And Paul says, I want to have the righteousness of Christ, and this is what we put on. And in this righteousness of Christ, our prayer will be effective. When we pray, we should not judge one another and condemn one another, but we should pray in the righteousness of the Lord. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's such an experience that we have to have much more. And then James gives this example of Elijah in verse 17. Elijah was the biggest prophet of all time. Does he say that here? Elijah really was the highest prophet of all. But that wasn't his definition here of Elijah. Was a man with a nature like ours. If you think of Elijah, what do you think about? Elijah, the great prophet who killed all the prophets of Baal. But poor me, I'm in my living room. Oh, that God would listen to Elijah. I can't believe that. But me? That means if I pray or not, it doesn't matter. Let Christian pray. I'm not coming to the prayer meeting. If I'm there for 5 minutes or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That's the encouragement of James. He wants to tell us, don't just believe that God only listens to Elijah. Haven't we read James? There's no favor for any person. If you are Elijah or Rainer Fritz, doesn't matter. Don't you think? Does he only listen to Elijah or to Paul? If Paul prays and with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but if I pray, oh Lord Jesus, I'd rather go to bed. I'm not worthy. If one or more or less, it doesn't matter. I think that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He wasn't special. If you think about that God listens to prayers, there's no favoring any person. Like with Paul and Peter, like for all the apostles, God listened to them, not because they were apostles, but because they prayed in faith. That's why God listened to them. It doesn't matter what your name is, who you are, where you come from, sister or brother. Let us learn to pray in faith, and God will listen to your prayer. That's what it says. Elijah was a man like with nature like ours, and he prayed. That's very encouraging. Let us be such people that pray in faith. And what did he pray? And he prayed that it would not rain. Wow. That it would not rain. Sometimes we pray that it shouldn't rain when we want to go on a trip with the children. Lord, I want to go on a bike tour with Raina. Please, let it not rain. Raina, did you ever pray like this? But that wasn't the reason why he prayed for sunshine. So that there's no rain. But Elijah prayed for God's purpose. He prayed for God's things. He, as a man like we are, if you're a sister or your brother, it doesn't matter if you're old or young or you have a job or not. If you pray in faith for God's purpose, He will listen to us. He will respond to us. Don't look down on the prayer of your own, or don't have a complex. That's what we need in our prayer. Don't think he just listens to a few brothers. There are cases like we heard in the beginning where the Lord uses the prayer of the brothers. But in general, God listens to our prayers. Let us experience this. And let us see why Elijah prayed. I can read it to you. Why Elijah prayed like this. In 1 Kings 16, starting verse 30, he lived at the time of King Ahab. In verse 30, 1 Kings 16, now Ahab, the son of Omri, that was the king, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. Mm-hmm. What do you do when your king, or you see your king or chancellor or president, if he does more evil than those who were before him? Do you just close your eyes? I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing to do with Ahab. Wasn't it enough that he walked in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat? That means, with other words, I don't know how to say that. Ahab didn't just sin like Jeroboam did. He wanted to sin even more, even better. He even wanted to do more evil things. I don't know what type of sense you have when you look at the ruling class. And it happened that he took Jezebel as his wife. Oh, Lord Jesus, even Jezebel. Lord, the daughter of Ethbaal. It's serving idols, yeah. The king of the Sidonians. They have nothing to do with Israel. It's the contrary. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image, and he made it. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. And even they built up Jericho again in his time. Oh Lord, what is our reaction if we see this evil that Ahab did and his queen? Let us see what Elijah's reaction was in chapter 17, in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." That was the reason why he prayed like that. If you see what's happening around us, there's lawlessness and evil, malice that's getting worse and worse from day to day. What is our reaction? No, that doesn't matter. The rulers are set by God. Let us obey them. And just do what they say, and no problem. Is that what Elijah did? Elijah said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, it won't rain." He prayed for the judgment. He didn't just look at it and see how bad they were and how bad Ahab and his wife were. He, like Noah, he judged the world. He condemned the world. He cared a lot. James says he prayed intensely that it shouldn't rain. It was a fight and prayer. He didn't just accept the situation or ignore it. His prayer was a judgment of the Lord for this earth. Praise the Lord. Such a prayer is what we need. So when we come together and the Lord shows us different situations, what's happening in the world, don't think that the Lord has such a responsibility to speak out the judgment of the Lord. In Psalm 110, he uses his scepter from Zion, like rule among your enemies. This is the responsibility of the church. Praise the Lord. And after 3.5 years, Elijah prayed again. In chapter 18, we can't speak about the whole chapter. In verse 41, he says to Ahab, he says to him, go up because it's going to rain. When you pray and have such fellowship with the Lord that you can speak the truth, he said, it's go up and eat and drink in 1 Kings 18, verse 41, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Yeah, did you ever say, okay, I can hear it, the rain is coming, the judgment is coming. In this case, the rain is kind of a salvation for the people. But when Elijah goes to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. That's what the Lord often did. He went up the mountain. Did he enjoy the view? Oh, it's so nice. That's a nice view. No, he prayed. He went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground. Did we hear that yesterday? Yeah. He bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. He really humbled himself and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. Did it only happen 2 times? Maybe 3 times? 5 times? How often? 7 times. Don't give up so easily in prayer. 7 times. Sometimes we pray 2 times, 3 times. And then we say, go, Simon, go and read the news. This is nothing. Nothing happened. Oh, the Lord is not listening to our prayers. Is that our reaction? Praise the Lord. We have such a great example in Elijah. He prayed 7 times. Let us endure in prayer, as Paul said. Yeah, enduring in prayer. Praise the Lord. And the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives a small sign. And these small signs that the Lord gives to us, we shouldn't underestimate them. Even Elijah looked for a sign, what the Lord is doing. If the Lord is hearing his prayers, when he is going to hear it? He's not just, oh, I need a sign so I can continue praying. But he completely trusted the Lord. And he knew in faith, if I go there a few times, like 7 is a complete number until it really happens. Then a small cloud came. Doesn't have to be a great sign, overwhelming. Sometimes it's a very small cloud. Sometimes the small cloud is enough. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Do we have such faith and such boldness and such trust? That's wonderful. When we pray in faith, we have confidence. He won't do it without us, without Elijah. Even the boy was there. Praise the Lord. If you're a boy, you also want to know what the Lord is doing. You want to see it. Praise the Lord. And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for such an example. Let us learn to pray and to serve the Lord in prayer in such a way. And exactly in the last two verses in James, verse 19 and 20, I'm just going to read them again. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. If we are such ones who pray like this, then we can help someone who erred from the truth. Let's continue tonight. Lord, strengthen our prayer, that we can have the prayer of faith, that you can hear our prayer and can answer us. Lord, we praise you for this strength of prayer. Yeah, bring us into this service of prayer.